Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who thinks chickens dream of one day being pot pies, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, welcome to Nightlight. Beautiful Monday night here in the state of Wisconsin. Great to have you with me. Let's light up this night together, folks. It's a great day. I feel sort of liberated today because the Super Bowl is over. And it's not that I don't enjoy it. I love the Super Bowl. I love the activities that lead up to the Super Bowl. But I kind of feel like I'm Catholic. I went to church for years. I kind of feel like we're entering ordinary time now, as they used to say during Catholic Mass. There's no huge holidays now until probably like the 4th of July. Maybe St. Patrick's Day, maybe Memorial Day. But I feel like yesterday being done, we can just get on with our lives now. We can work around the house, focus on our careers. There's really nothing. Maybe Valentine's Day. But I'm glad it's in the rear view. It was a great game. A lot of fun. Get your thoughts on the halftime show coming up. Conrad, are you here?
Yes, I am here.
Great to have you, buddy. Conrad is ready to take your text and calls. As usual.
As usual.
Yeah, you've never disappointed. Have we missed a call?
Never.
I don't think we've missed a text. We've even read texts the next night if we missed it the previous night.
Exactly. Always make sure something gets read.
That's right, because our listeners are important. So it's great to have you with me. We got a great show tonight. And our new time slot, 7 to 9, look at that. It's still night. We still need light, right? We still need some laughter, some little showbiz talk, some fun Wisconsin talk, bumping it up an hour. And that's good. I was trying to adjust my schedule because I wasn't used to going to bed so late, but I have a commute to get here. And I would stay up to like 2 in the morning, get up at like 9 or 10. I'm one of those weird people that I like the night. I love how quiet the night is. I love looking out my window and just seeing the darkness, some street lamps. I find that very romantic and cool. Just sitting up watching TV, having a drink, whatever you do. But I also like the morning. I love how beautiful the morning is. So I'm kind of screwed. Kind of have to pick a lane. Conrad, are you a night person or a morning person?
Definitely a night person.
Definitely a night person. I think I was when I was your age, too. I was more of an, I was doing stand-up, comedy, traveling. I would be up late. But, I don't know. Maybe that should have been our question tonight. I don't know. Are you a night person or a morning? We'll get to that. Let's add that to the list. Conrad, take a memo.
It's done.
Done. That was fast. Wow.
I got it on standby. Always.
Fastest sums in the business, folks. That's why he takes those texts so fast. That's why I read them on the air so fast. Got a fun show tonight. Joining me in a little while will be Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com. I always love talking show business with Matt. And I love, Matt always gives great suggestions. You know, we pretty much usually see eye to eye on movies and TV, but he's the critic. He's going to tell us what we should be watching. He sees so much. And if you're looking for a new show to binge watch, I'm guessing that when Matt and I are done talking, you'll have some suggestions because he always, I think the last couple times he's been here, he's given us some good stuff to watch. And I want to see where he's at with his Oscar, how many movies he's got left to see before he has seen all of the Best Picture nominees. And maybe already has. I don't know. I thought last time he was here, he had one or two still to catch. I still have two to see. So we'll talk with Matt. We'll find out where he's at. That's at 8:35. And then in the second hour, if you saw the Facebook post, we had to sort of call an audible at the last minute. Frank Anderson of Wisconsinology.com is also a very accomplished filmmaker and editor and producer and musician. And every once in a while, his talents pull him in another direction. And today it was last minute, so we will reschedule Frank for next week for some Wisconsin gangster and Al Capone talk. That'll be a fun talk with Frank. But filling in graciously will be John Mino. He's going to pop into the studio a little bit. John and I will talk Super Bowl, halftime show. What he and the mayor today on Mino and the Mayor discuss some pretty cool things. Conrad, you witnessed it all because you produced that show today.
Yeah, I did produce the show this morning.
How did that go?
It went great. It's always fun being with the guys and just seeing what they're talking about.
Did they tease you about your name?
not this
all
time.
Right, good.
They got it right. Both of them, every single time they said my name, they got it right.
All right. that's a relief. And now he's going to be in here tonight. So John Mino, a very hardworking broadcaster, Green Bay legend in broadcasting, will join me in the second hour. And that's always fun whenever he stops in. So thank you, John, for helping out. And our question tonight, we're gonna milk this Super Bowl for all it's worth. Who would you like to see at the Super Bowl halftime show next year? Usher, I thought Usher, you know, I don't know Usher's music. I know about the same about Usher's music as or amount of it, I should say, as I do Taylor Swift's. I don't know his songs, and I don't know Taylor Swift's. So I just enjoyed the show. He's a good dancer. There was a lot going on. It was a very busy stage, lots of guest stars. I thought it was fine. I thought it was a really entertaining show. Mixed reviews, though. Some people just thought it was lacking something. And maybe it's just that you have to have great songs. And Usher has good songs, and he's a charismatic performer, great dancer, like I said. But maybe you need those Rolling Stones tunes or Prince. I don't know. But I'm sure the fans of Usher and love his music. I get that. But I don't know that they do on a mass scale, or maybe football fans. Conrad, are you an Usher fan?
I mean, I don't really listen. He was in my life when I was in eighth grade for middle school dances.
He was at your middle school dances?
Well, wow. It's his music.
A killer budget there at that public school.
I wouldn't say I go back to his music and just listen to it, but
yeah. Yeah, I don't, it's, but I could be wrong. I don't, what did you think? You're welcome to share your thoughts about yesterday's halftime show. I thought it was good. I don't put it up in the top 10. I thought it was good. I thought it was entertaining, fun. I liked Alicia Keys. I liked Ludacris. I didn't even know that was Ludacris at first. I was used to seeing him on the phone commercials. And I'm like, oh, hey, that's the guy from the phone commercials. Oh, and that's Ludacris. So I had to kind of connect the dots. But that was fun. I thought it was a good show. But feel free to weigh in. If you have thoughts on the Super Bowl show, halftime show, we'd love to hear them. You can also share your thoughts on the game. Really, folks, you could just share anything. This is an open discussion.
You know who should headline it next year for the halftime show?
Lay it on me, Stretch.
Tim Kavanaugh.
Hey, I love that. He could sing the Piston song.
Exactly.
The Proud Mary. That would be a fun show. Tim Kavanaugh. All right, we got one vote for Tim Kavanaugh. Tim is not the dancer, Usher, or like Shakira is, but he might surprise you. Tim, of course, was on the show a couple weeks ago. A lot of fun. So who would you like to see at next year's Super Bowl halftime show? That is tonight's question. Let us know, 844-967-2789 or 844-96-PARTY. Who do you want to party at the Super Bowl halftime show next year? You can leave your thoughts on the game or yesterday's halftime show. Let us know what you're thinking. You can also text us on the app, the Civic Media app. Very easy to use. Our show is on statewide, so just click on any of the stations and you will see a little text icon. Click on that and fire away. Fire them off. Conrad is waiting. That's the great thing about Conrad, folks. You text in, it doesn't matter if it's from phone or app or the website. He's going to get that text through.
Always.
A lot of people won't do that. These board operators, these producers, they're very finicky, right, Conrad? I mean, you don't... Some people want it all in their terms. Conrad's like taking all comers, so... Let him know what you think, and we'll discuss it on the air. And we got there were some cool birthdays today. John Michael Higgins turned 60. He was in a lot of Christopher Guest's movies. Very funny guy. Christina Ricci, who had crazy success in the 90s. I kind of forgot about her, to be honest, but she turns 43 today. She got her start in the film Mermaids. Abe Lincoln, this is his, what would it be, like 178th birthday?
Somewhere on there.
Something like that, yeah. Michael McDonald from the Doobie Brothers turns 72. Josh Brolin from one of my all-time favorite movies, No Country for Old Men, turns 56. Arsenio Hall, former talk show host, is 68. And some big releases too. Groundhog Day. Isn't that weird? Like last week was Groundhog Day. Actually, a week and a half ago. And they put out Groundhog Day like a week and a half later. Like, that's kind of a big goof, in my opinion. Like, the studio probably was like frantically trying to get out on Groundhog's Day, and they couldn't do it. Someone probably lost their job. School Days from Spike Lee was released on this day in 1988. That was his sophomore effort after She's Gotta Have It, which was a very good film. And then Do the Right Thing was right after School Days. To this day, holds up. Great film. School Days was okay. It's been years since I've seen it, but talk about a prolific filmmaker. Spike Lee. And then Percy Jackson and the Olympians, The Lightning Thief, was released on this day in 2010.
Which was one of my favorite movies actually growing up.
I was going to ask you about that. Now, where is that in the series, Conrad?
That's the supposed to be the first book, but it's so off from the actual book that...
Oh, really?
Yeah. They just released actually a new series about that on Disney, and it really follows the book, so I really enjoyed that.
Oh, cool. Okay. So there you go. Percy Jackson and the Olympians. The Lightning Thief. Who played Percy Jackson again?
Oh, let me look this up quick. I forget his name.
It's bothering me that I can't remember who that is.
It is Logan Learman.
Oh, Logan Learman, yeah. Okay.
And Brandon T. Jackson plays Grover and Alexandra. I'm going to butcher her last name.
Daddario.
And plays Annabeth.
Oh, say her first name again.
Alexandra
Daddario.
There it is. I really butchered it.
That's okay. She does conjure up different images. She's very famous, very, very a good actor. She was in season one of True Detective. Have you seen that, Conrad?
I haven't seen True Detective, okay. But I did see her in The White Lotus, and she was really good in that.
She's great in that. Check out True Detective season one. You will have a new memory of Alexandra Daddario from Percy Jackson, I guarantee it. Okay, when we come back, in just a minute, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl a little bit. And something I read that said Americans eat 8,000 calories while they're watching the Super Bowl. We'll discuss that. And my kickball tournament, that's next on Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. That is the sound of Michael McDonald, who turns 72 today. What a fool believes. Such a great song. Let that play for a little bit, Conrad. That's a great song. Co-written by Kenny Loggins. A big hit for the Doobie Brothers. It's a tragic song, too. If you listen to the lyrics, it's about a guy who meets a girl at a restaurant. He still wants to keep it going. Their time together was like his greatest time in his life, and it was just a fling to her. And the song is called What a Fool Believes. Have you been there, Conrad? You ever like a girl that like you like her more than she likes you, or vice versa?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's a tough situation.
It is, it really is.
Never happened to me, but we got some texts here. For our question of the night, who would you like to see perform at next year's Super Bowl halftime show? Anyone you want. Who you picking? Conrad's dad chimes in. I think Taylor Swift, for some reason, she likes going to the Super Bowl. That is true. She looked like she was having a pretty good time. Travis Kelce did not look like he was having a very good time when he almost got through hands with his coach. What a doofus, man. Like, if that was a regular season game, I don't know. You think he would have sat him for a quarter or something?
I don't know.
So lame.
It was it was so out of character for him, I feel like. So I was surprised when I saw that.
I was too, and it's not like I like the guy. I just, what, and supposedly he was upset because he wasn't in on the previous play where somebody else fumbled.
Yeah.
That's what I don't get. I'm like, just relax.
I don't, does he think he could have recovered it?
Yeah,
I don't
maybe.
Know.
Maybe. I have no idea. But you have a beautiful girlfriend who's very successful. So sit down and shut up. Paula Krieger chiming in. Rock and roll, no rap. Okay. Yeah, it seems like they go, you know, it is fun when they combine the two genres. Like that year they had Fergie on and the Black, or it was like the Black Eyed Peas and Slash, I think. Would you call Usher rap, Conrad? I don't want you to correct your mother on the air. That could be awkward.
I would say it's more like
R&B,
pop. Maybe?
Yeah, I would agree. Certainly not like hardcore rap. Like
definitely not. Yeah.
But like 2 years ago with Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre, that was definitely old school rap. I thought that was really cool.
It was great. I really enjoyed that.
That was a good show. I'll see what I can do. No promises. But let's get the Super Bowl halftime people on the blower here. Let's see if we can make that happen. Pete, next year, New Orleans Super Bowl artist, I am searching in my mind with joy. Oh, Pete, next year. Yeah, me. Is that what you mean? Tom, we need clarification. I'll do my show live from the Super Bowl. That'd be a cool thing. And I'll even take my shirt off like Usher did. See if I can get a hold of a man's ear before then. That's our question. Who do you want to see perform at next year's Super Bowl? Let us know what you think. You can let us know what you thought of yesterday's performance and the game as well at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. I had the unfortunate opportunity to play in a kickball tournament on Saturday. And I don't know genetically what it is that makes people like me try really hard in the moment. It's kickball. It's a community rec center. I'm diving for the ball. I'm sprinting around the bases. I couldn't even move my legs the next day. And why? It was me, my son and daughter. My son is 23. My daughter's 18. My daughter would like kick the ball. And then she wasn't even in a full jog to first base. And that bothered me. I almost grounded her for not running hard in a recreational kickball tournament. Trying to do everything I could to take the fun out of it for everybody. But, I mean, come on. Like, at least, you know, jog. And we had some other people on our team. Everybody was trying hard. There was a lot of injuries, though. It was in a turf room at the Marinette Rec Center. And it's just so silly how hard I was trying. Like, I'm like kind of ashamed of myself, but you get in that moment and it's like any glory you never got in sports comes out in that moment. And I'm not letting this kickball, the same one we used when I was in eighth grade, get past me. I was the pitcher, Conrad.
I can see that.
Really?
Yeah.
You think I could roll a kickball? It was just so ridiculous. I mean, it was fun. We played the local police department. They beat us. That wasn't even close, which is fine. I didn't want the boot on my car when I left the rec center. And then we played these young athletic kids who knew nothing about kickball, but they were incredible athletes. And that was enough to do us in. We probably lost. It was double elimination. I think we lost by a total of like 31-5. Somehow we managed 5 runs. My son and his friend were disgusted. The only two.
Not a great Saturday.
On our team that were remotely athletic. It was not. And then it was a long Saturday because you just didn't feel like, you feel so crummy, you don't feel like doing anything else. So that was that. All right, so let's move on. So I read this article yesterday. My dad actually shared this with me, and I didn't believe him, so I looked it up. And this was from, like, thebeat.com, B-E-E-T. I'm guessing a food. Yeah, it's called The Beat, thebeat.com. Super Bowl watchers eat over 8,000 calories while watching the game. On average, the average American, I'm going to repeat this, eats over 8,000 calories during the game. The average adult is supposed to have, like, I think 2,500 calories for men, 22 for women, something like that. The average Super Bowl viewer during the course of the game eats 8,000 calories. Am I emphasizing 8,000 enough, Conrad?
yeah, I believe so.
You said you thought it could be done. Here's what I had. I had two bowls of chili, medium size, maybe what, 600-800 calories total? Four wings, what's that, 300? So now I'm at like, what, 900? My mom made these dates with like blue cheese and bacon wrapped around them. It's like, let's call that 100. I was probably at 2000 calories during the game. I was full. I don't know where people are finding the stomach space to shovel in another 6,000 calories.
See, if think about this though, if you just get a pizza,
yeah,
pizzas have so many calories in it. And then you're like, oh, I want some dip and chips. That adds a lot of calories as well. But the big thing is the alcohol that you're consuming
during
the game.
That's got to be it.
Yeah.
But, okay, let's say you have 10 beers. What is it, 150 calories a beer? That's like 1,500 calories. You still have 6,500 calories. And that's after 10 beers. Most people probably don't eat 10 or drink 10 beers.
I
don't know how you're getting to 8,000.
You have to eat a lot.
That's 16 Big Macs, Conrad. 16.
Wow. That's a lot of Big Macs.
We're going to ask Matt Miller about this next. Maybe some showbiz stuff, too. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Great to have you with me. Sweat on El Rosie, like a drunkard loser, mama's ring. Yeah, I'm playing blind man's bluff, is a little baby's game. You pick up little dynamite, I'm gonna pick up little gun. Everyone on our out tonight, make that highway run. You don't have to call me lieutenant, I don't wanna be your son. Only lover I'm ever gonna need, a soft sweet little girl's tongue.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to the Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on a Monday night in the beautiful state of Wisconsin. We are broadcasting live from City Deck Landing in Green Bay and our WGBW studios, discussing all things Super Bowl, all things halftime show, how on earth people could wolf down 8,000 calories during one game of football. I don't get it. We'll get to the bottom of it, though, folks. That is my vow to you. Very exciting to welcome my next guest here. He writes for onmilwaukee.com. He's the entertainment reporter, and he is one of the hardest working people in this crazy business that I know. Matt Miller. Matt, welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Great to have you. How do you think people can eat 8,000 calories during a football game?
A concerted effort, you know, really believing in yourself.
It has to be. You have to, that takes effort. That's, we just did the math on this, Matt. That's like about 16 Big Macs.
Okay, so that's like 5 Solly's burgers then? That's not too bad.
Okay, if you pace yourself, I guess it could happen. Hey, how are you? How was your vacation? You went to Aruba, you said?
I did. It was wonderful. I was very lucky to be able to go on that trip and take some time out. And it's gorgeous down there. I felt a little silly, though, because, you know, you leave in January and February from Wisconsin. And you're like, haha, suckers. You're going to have to deal with snow and 10-degree weather. And then all you guys had was like 30 degrees and melted snow. And I was like, oh, okay. Didn't feel like I got the most benefit out of it.
That is so funny you say that. I was just talking about this with someone. This is an El Nino year. My first year in L.A., my wife and I were away from our families, and we were like, oh, well, we're homesick, but we have great weather. The joke is on them. Well, it was an El Nino year. Back here in the Midwest, we're seeing pictures of people wearing shorts, and we got torrential downpours. It was such a ripoff.
Like, so, right? Like, you want to be able to rub it in people's faces like, ooh, 10 degrees and icy. What a bummer. Anyways, it's been literally 82 degrees here every day.
Exactly. Well, that's good. I'm glad you had a good trip. You have been posting a lot of stuff. I was just looking at your On Milwaukee and all the articles you posted just in the last, I don't know how you keep up with all this stuff, but let's first start with what did you think of the Super Bowl?
I thought it was great. I thought it was actually, it's actually ironic. It had a great ending for 3/4 of the game. It was a pretty trash Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The game itself was arguably a very bad ad for football. It was a lot of punts. It was a lot of bad drives. It was a lot of uneventful stuff. There were more punts than touchdowns easily.
Yeah.
There were more turnovers than touchdowns. But then that ending was really terrific, except for, I got to say, Tony Romo's really fallen off.
What is his? Like, yeah, I agree.
And I understand that the overtime rules were new and required some explanation, and there was some confusion. Go figure, the NFL is overcomplicated rules. but at the same time, like, you got to get out of the way of that big final moment. Like, that final touchdown, I feel like everyone was sitting there being like, well, they won, right? But
right.
Were they running out of time or not? Like, it was just all very odd.
They were they were talking about on the radio today how the San Francisco coach made an error by accepting the ball first because you don't get the benefit of fourth downs or so. I didn't even understand it, but the sports.
Yeah, it's very strange. The strategy or kind of lack thereof. And it sounds like a lot of the Niners players were like openly being like, yeah, we did not know what the rules were for this new overtime. And I don't understand why they don't just do the NCAA football classic.
Right.
Overtime strategy of just each team gets a chance because, you know, I apparently if the Chiefs hadn't scored and time had run out in overtime, there would have been another overtime period.
Right.
But in that case, why do we have multiple overtime? Like, why do we have a clock for this overtime?
Right.
Why would we not just be like, you get a possession and you get a possession and whoever stops the other or outscores the other wins? Like, what is this? Very convoluted, cumbersome, hard to believe that the league behind what is a catch has right. turned what is overtime into a debacle.
Exactly. And having said that, I agree with you, though, the last quarter and the overtime was epic. That was a really fun ending. What did you think of the halftime show, Matt?
I really enjoyed it. I really, really enjoyed it. And I really enjoyed it, kind of the basics of it. You know, we've had a lot of very showy Super Bowl halftime shows. The Weeknd was very kind of, you know, made for the home audience with the visuals and stuff like that. Rihanna last year with the floating platforms was very, you know, visually grabbing. This was kind of just an old school classic showman concert. This was a guy being like, I am going to own this stage. I'm going to command the audience's attention. I'm going to have, you know, just like live band. I'm going to have like marching bands playing along.
That was cool.
And it was just really great. I mean, I'm in the pocket for it. I'm a millennial who grew up on Yeah. So you start playing the ludicrous verse from that song, something in my brain activates like the Manchurian Candidate. But it was really, I thought it was a really strong halftime show. Even I know some people didn't like the amount of slow jams he did. But, you know, first of all, it matched the game. The first half of the game was slow. And second of all, I thought it was actually like, you know, it was kind of, he's got good slow jams. You don't get Usher and not get some good quality slow jams.
Right. Absolutely. No, I'm with you. I thought it was like, and I like when they pull guest stars up and like Alicia Keys was great. And then, you know, and like Ludacris, here's how, this is where I'm at with Ludacris. Like, I didn't know his music. I knew him from the movie Crash. And the commercials, the phone commercials. And I'm like, I had to like connect the dots. I'm like, oh, that's the guy from the phone connection or the phone commercials. Oh, and from Crash. Oh, that's Ludacris. Like, I didn't even go to Ludacris right away. So
we got to get you some Fast and the Furious movies, too.
Yeah, no kidding. Were you on last time and you told me you really liked the last few of them?
That would not be me.
Okay.
I did not enjoy the last bunch of Fast and Furious movies. I'm a big fan of Fast Five. I like the kind of 5, 6, 7, the kind of peak era, and they've kind of jumped the shark. They've literally gone into space at this point.
Oh wow!
I would really love to see them go. At this point, jumping the shark would be modest by their by their standards. So I would actually appreciate that.
Well, yeah, someone told me recently, and I saw like the first two. I'm like, all right, I get it. How are they still making these? But someone said, oh, they get okay around five. They pick up a bit, but I'm like, I don't know if I have that much time to invest in a 10 movie franchise.
Yeah. Five is perfect. Five is a tremendous summer action movie. That one deserves all the credit it gets. And then it kind of gets more cartoony and more cartoony, and it kind of loses its grip on anything resembling reality by these last ones.
All right. Good to know. So I just saw, what have you seen all the Oscar nominees, Matt? Are you still working your way through?
I haven't seen all of them, but I've seen a majority of them. I finally caught up with Poor Things. I've obviously seen, just about all the major ones. Yes. Barbenheimer.
Right. I saw American Fiction on Saturday. And
what did you think?
I liked it. I don't know that I would put it like, I feel like if the Oscars were like still only five, it might not have gotten nominated, but it was a really good movie. I enjoyed it, but I'm like, and maybe shame on me. I'm looking for that Oscar quality, you know, like in Coda or something like that. I was like, why did this, I love the statement it made. I love the conflict within the main character. I love Jeffrey Wright, but I don't know. What did you think?
Yeah, it's very small. It's a small, intimate kind of movie. And also, I think I get why they've been advertising it the way they have, but it's not really that much of like a book industry satire, like an entertainment industry satire. It's honestly mostly a family drama.
Right.
And I think that maybe throws a lot of people off. And honestly, it's probably the big problem with the movie is that it does have this kind of wild veering tones from kind of a broader state of culture, you know, satire to this very thoughtful family drama about, you know, a guy dealing with loss and dealing with, you know, being black, but not in a way that maybe, you know, society can package and market in a way. I find that movie really, it's a good movie. And I think it's a great kind of debut feature for Cor Jefferson, who I'm sure will have hopefully a blank check for his next movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is kind of an odd Best Picture nominee in this year's list.
And having said, I'm totally nitpicking, but I'm working my way through. I still have to see Poor Things. And I guess The Teacher's Lounge there's one other one I haven't seen yet, but
if you haven't seen The Teacher's Lounge and you're in Milwaukee, it's in theaters now. It's at the Ridge and the AMC Mayfair now. And I cannot imagine it will be around much longer. That's one of the international film nominees. So I would recommend seeking that one out now while you can, because I don't know how much longer you'll be able to on the big screen.
Right. That is the voice of Matt Miller. He is the entertainment reporter for onmilwaukee.com. He writes about a lot of stuff there. Definitely check out his columns. They're great. And he is joining us now to talk some TV and film as we do here. If you were talking to someone and you had to tell them to watch three films that were nominated and they haven't seen any of them, what would you say?
I'd start with Oppenheimer. I think it's a tremendous movie. I think it's up there with Nolan's best. Yeah. And I think it gets better the more you think about it and the more distance you get from it. I think the first time you watch it, it is such a freight train of a movie.
Yeah.
That it's easy to kind of get overwhelmed by all the information and all of the kind of editing of the movie and the way it's put together. But that one is really seasoned well for me. I think the Zone of Interest is tremendous. It is kind of one of it is definitely the smallest of the bunch. And it's also the artsiest of the bunch. It is an art film. They have snuck an art film into the top 10 here about a Nazi commandant's family living right next door to Auschwitz.
Yeah,
and it's
crazy.
All about the kind of banality of evil and kind of the how these crimes can go on and how people can live comfortably, you know, ignoring atrocity around them. And it's very good. It's very difficult to watch. It is a difficult sit, but a very thought-provoking and very well-crafted one. I think that one's tremendous. And I do also really like Poor Things. It's wild that a very raunchy sex comedy is essentially nominated for Best Picture. But it's very thoughtful and it is beautifully assembled. It's kind of a shame that it is in the same year as a Barbie and an Oppenheimer, because the production on that movie is incredible, but it's up against these other fellow monoliths in this category. It's an embarrassment of riches when it comes to film production. A
couple of Wisconsin actors in that too, right? Willem Dafoe and Mark Ruffalo.
I love Mark Ruffalo in that movie too. He gets pegged as, you know, a serious, you know, a very serious actor a lot of times.
Yeah.
And he does very good, very serious work. It's so much fun to watch him be this goof in Poor Things. And every single line reading is gold in Poor Things for him. I had a hoot with him in that movie.
Yeah, I've got to see Past Lives, Zone of Interest, Poor Things, and you just reminded me I haven't seen that one. And then Holdovers still I haven't seen, and I hear that's a great one too.
Holdovers is tremendous too. It's a great winter movie. It's just got the warmth of winter, of Christmas, of the holidays, but also kind of the bittersweet feelings of winter. It's really been a tremendous year for movies, and I feel like we say that every year, but you know, movies now more than ever.
And we're talking about the best ones of each year at this time, so that helps too. Did you see Wonka?
I did.
What'd you think of Wonka?
I enjoyed it. I like that director's sense of creative whimsy, and I think the movie's very sweet. And I'm surprised it's done as well as it has, because they hid the fact that it was a musical. And I know a lot of people will say, like, oh, you know, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, well, these were musicals, essentially. They had musical numbers. But you saw it even yesterday at the Super Bowl. The Wicked first look, the Wicked trailer that came out, didn't feature anything recognizably musical about it. There were no moments in the trailer where you saw someone singing. There was no choreography. And that is Wicked. Most famous for being a Broadway musical, for being the thing that every high school graduation sings for good at. Right. And even a movie like Wicked is like, I don't know, should we let people know that we're a musical? Nah.
Or should we trick them?
But the strategy works. I mean, Wonka was the biggest hit of Christmas, and Mean Girls pulled the same trick and is the highest grossing movie of the year so far. So I think there is apparently value in kind of not alienating people who know they don't like musicals and maybe tricking them into seeing something they might like, actually.
Totally agree. We'll have more with Matt Miller on Nightlight with Peach Wabba. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Steve from the 920 says, seriously, Paul McCartney brought back dignity to the halftime show back in 2005 when Conrad was 6 years old. Some family scrapbooking going on here tonight. We need someone like him to bring back the family atmosphere. Just my 2 cents. Thank you, Steve. That's Conrad's dad, who also adds, speaking of the Big Mac, who can sing 2 all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun? Well, you just gave me the lyrics, Steve, so. That wasn't too tough, but I remember that song well. You had to sing that in like 8 seconds and you got a free Big Mac or something like that. As usual, great text tonight. Not too late to weigh in. Who do you want to play next year's Super Bowl halftime show? 844-967-2789. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. My guest right now is Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com. He writes their entertainment. You write all kinds of stuff, Matt.
It is all hands on deck at onmilwaukee.com. There's a lot of stuff to write about in the world.
Especially in Milwaukee. Tell us, I wanted to ask you about this. You wrote about a drinking game for the Super Bowl so we can make notes for next year. How is that played?
So it's just kind of a fun thing that a Facebook website, a Facebook group called NFL Memes every year does. It's more of a comedic drinking game than an actual proper drinking
sophisticated
game. Yeah, but it's a fun way to kind of poke fun at the kind of storylines that'll surround the Super Bowl. And obviously this year there were more than plenty of those. That's a fun thing. And I think if you had taken a drink every time Tony Romo had said Jim during that broadcast, you would not be sober now.
That would be your 8,000 calories right there.
Yeah.
What did you think about how they covered Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce? I got to say, she's on quite a bit, but it's very quick. And I think they said a couple of weeks ago, she was on in a 3.5 hour broadcast. She was on camera for 24 seconds and some people were losing their minds. What's your take?
I'm not sure why I'm supposed to hate Taylor Swift at these games. Like, I don't understand why I'm supposed to be upset that she is happily watching these football games and really invested in them.
Right.
And that she, you know, like, it's not like she calls CBS and is like, I demand 30 seconds of shots. Like, this is, these are producers' choices. And I just find it very silly that I'm supposed to be annoyed that she seems to enjoy supporting her partner and going to these games.
I don't get it either. Yeah. I don't know her music, but she seems like a nice person. And it was fun. Yesterday I watched with my daughter, my mom, and my wife, among others, three Swifties, and it was fun. I mean, it added an element to the broadcast. The questions got a little annoying after a while, but it was fun having different people involved. I actually really enjoyed
Especially when the questions were like, is football normally this boring?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I was telling my daughter about four downs, and after a while, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so rudimentary. Like, I don't even know a lot about football, but I felt like, you know.
Yeah, and it is one of those things where it's like, this is why soccer is the most famous, is the most popular sport globally. Right. Soccer is so easy and basic. And then when you try to explain football to people, it is so cumbersome and so messy. And even people who watch football every week like us are like, I can't explain to you what happened in overtime there at the end. Like, it's not... It is not a user-friendly game, football. And I will also say, seeing the Eras Tour movie... kind of educated, because everyone's like, oh, Taylor Swift, she's so over the top, and she's always singing at the, you know, the award shows and being so extra. And then I saw the Eras Tour movie and I was like, oh, that she's just a dweeb. Like, she's just kind of a dweeby kind of person who's like kind of a theater kid. And so I really don't think this, like, oh, she's just acting for the cameras at this game. She's so extra. It's just like, I just think she's a bit extra as a human being.
That's really interesting. Yeah, I will say she seems genuine. She's certainly never mugging for the camera or, like you said, asking to be on camera. She gets enough of that, you know.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, honestly, like, I was getting annoyed by Travis Kelce more yesterday.
Oh, what was his deal?
Pushing and yelling Andy Reid, and there was even a shot, and when he had the trophy at the end, and he's doing, you know, the loud singing along to You Gotta Fight, and it, like, cuts to Taylor Swift being like, I'm looking forward to him getting this out of his system.
Right. Well, you hope, yeah, or he'll end up as one of her songs eventually if he keeps it up, maybe. I don't know. Matt, what should I be watching? What are some good series we should all be watching?
Well, if you're a fan of Top Chef, I would definitely get caught up on that because we're going to have the Wisconsin set.
Oh, yeah.
Top Chef coming up. Yeah, that's very exciting. I also think people should check out the Oscar nominees. It's genuinely a really good batch this year. It's not very often that you have a batch of Oscar nominees where it doesn't feel like one of them is like, well, what were we doing here?
Right.
This is genuinely a really, like, if Maestro is the worst movie of the bunch, we have a really good bunch of movies. So I would definitely check. And again, a lot of people are like, oh, the Oscars, they're so out of touch. They don't understand. They don't know what the comment, well, Oppenheimer was a really good movie and a really gripping movie. And Barbie is a really funny movie. And Poor Things is a really enjoyable, fun movie and weird and bizarre and truly eye-catching. And Past Lives is a really moving movie. There's a lot of really good stuff out there that people shouldn't. Weirdly enough, the Oscar stamp, I feel like, sometimes dissuades people from seeking the stuff out because they're like, oh, an Oscar movie, is that going to be, you know,
too
heady, middle brow or heady?
Yeah.
There's some fun stuff.
Yeah.
And good stuff, just generally good stuff out there.
I agree. Let's talk, more importantly, let's talk action films. Have you seen The Beekeeper?
I have. For the opposite of an Oscar movie.
Yeah.
In the best way possible. The Beekeeper is ridiculous and silly and... that's what I want. I want a very ridiculous movie about a bunch of fishers, internet fishers, scamming people, and Jason Statham punching them in the face for doing so, and for it to excess to such a level of ridiculousness in terms of, you know, the scale of where the story goes,
yes,
where the conspiracy goes. That's like it's so preposterous and such a kind of unrelenting, ridiculous good time.
It's so crazy because you're right. It got there. It started, actually, I thought, kind of small. I liked when Felicia Rashad passed away and he wanted to avenge that. But I love this thing where everybody has like a simple job. Oh, they're also a train killer, beekeeper, snowplow driver, whatever. Matt, do you have a couple more minutes? Can we steal you for a couple more minutes? Okay. All right, Matt, thanks so much as always. We'll do this again, I hope, soon.
We will have to talk more, Pete. Absolutely.
All right, buddy. Have a great night. Thanks for your time tonight. That is Matt Miller from OnMilwaukee.com. They're a wonderful entertainment reporter. Always fun to talk movies and TV with Matt. Coming up, John Mino is in the studio in hour number two. Conrad and I have some awesome clips to play from some awesome movies like we do here. John Michael Higgins, Christina Ricci, and Josh Brolin. I'm Pete Schwab, but this is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.